I lost the goal. Or perhaps we lost her. We were the ones who found her, claimed her, fed her, and loved her. And we were there when she disappeared. It was 1923, a year when I sank into we. That summer, we did everything as one. For a while. The bird was a lazy old thing, a one-legged creature with wings so mottled they looked dirty, even when she was fresh from a Hudson bath. She flew in half-hearted, sinking circles and squawked like she didn't care about being heard. She was a beautiful, useless thing, and we named her Grover Hartley, in tribute to a comically handsome Giants catcher whom I doted on when I was younger, when the world was closer to sane. She was the first pet I'd ever had. I'd never understood the urge to let wildlife into one's home, as I needed no help keeping my townhouse a perfect mess. But when Cherub and I began playing at domesticity, an animal seemed a natural addition. It could have been worse. She could have been a cat. Or a child. We hung a yellow fire bucket from the stern of our little boat and welcomed her with a feast of apple cores, chicken wings, oyster shells, collard stalks, and bread crusts. It was a pleasure watching the gull fatten on our scraps. If one of her brethren dared intrude on Grover Hartley's meal, we frightened them off by pelting rocks, singing off key, and slapping stray bits of rope against the deck. She sucked down food like a vacuum cleaner. It was the only time she showed any effort. And when she flew off, belly dragging across the water, I knew that though we could never own her, she was ours. On a day when the falling sun dyed the river orange and the breeze carried the first hint of fall, I went to dump our leftovers into the fire bucket and found it nearly full. I felt a sudden certainty that by choice or by tragedy, Grover Hartley had deserted us, and that very likely we would never see her again. Some people would have allowed themselves a tear. I simply stood there, twisting a gristly chicken bone between my fingers, trying to decide if I was mourning the gull or the people she'd left behind. New Jersey had nearly swallowed the sun when Cherub prodded a toe into my thigh.
Something wrong?
The bird didn't eat.
So?
I put on a smile and turned around. He was where I liked him, sprawled across the cramped little cockpit with a cigar stub in his mouth and a pulp magazine folded in his hands, sweat glittering on his body like diamond mail. A year on the water had done nothing to harden his slack physique, but long days in the sun had darkened his complexion from light brown to something that verged on purple. He was as beautiful as the boat he lay on, and she was no hag. Her hull was bone white, her deck as smooth as good bourbon. She had been the jewel of the Hudson ever since the night he stole her from the East Side docks and christened her in my honor, the Misery Queen. I trailed my fingers across his gut. He hated being tickled, and so I did it every chance I got. Our pet is missing. You're not concerned?
Birds go. They come back or they don't. For all we know, she winters in New Orleans.
I opened the bench where we stashed tangled rope and canvas. I shoved the mess aside and tried to hide my irritation when I didn't find what I required. Where is my bag?
What bag?
The sack where I keep my lockpicks and notes and all the other junk that goes into my work. Where's it gone?
In the cabin, under the bunk. You weren't using it, so I put it away.
I see. He stood, leaving a gleaming patch of sweat on the bench. He smelled more powerfully of river than the Hudson itself. The closer he got, the easier it was to forget I was annoyed.